the last few days have done everything they could to make up for the last couple of months, weather-wise. It's hard to beat blue skies with a few intermittent clouds and temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Days like these make the words of Jesus easier to hear. Words about lilies and birds and no worries blend in well with the light-hearted feeling of the beginnings of spring. This time of year, with the weather like this and the hopefulness that accompanies it, when you hear these words of Matthew, your inner iTunes might go to the same place mine does and immediately begin playing Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy. A big yellow smiley face might accompany that quirky tune in your mind's eye, and you might even find a smile beginning to form on your face. Those sorts of moments are keepers. Those moments when we actually get what Jesus is saying. Those moments of absolute certainty that all is well and all will be well, and all our life's worries and anxieties are manufactured by foolish insecurities that have no grounding in reality. Don't you wish you could bottle those moments? Those moments when all the planets and stars seem to line up and we know that God is good. And we trust that He is with us no matter what. And as long as that is true, that in fact we have nothing to worry about. Here at Grace, we're lucky enough to have a constant reminder of Matthew's Don't Worry passage in our stained glass window behind the altar. Hopefully, it hasn't become so much of a constant that it's lost its punch. Hopefully, we've not become desensitized to the Jesus in the lilies window so that we no longer see it as a reminder of what our priorities should be. Hopefully, we don't just look at this window critically with our smug 21st century glasses that know that Jesus was not, in all great likelihood, fair-skinned and blonde. Hopefully, we don't let these sorts of issues get in the way of our ability to be moved by the reminder that this window represents, a reminder of the goodness of God, of Jesus, and His loving care for His creation, especially us, His people. Jesus begins this teaching by telling His listeners, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." He follows that with the do not worry passages. And we know that this teaching is about priorities. Ours and God's. No one can serve two masters. You have to prioritize. We have prioritized, and our lives reveal what our priorities are. We may think that we can keep our priorities to ourselves and no one will be the wiser, but no one is fooled by that but us. Whether we intend to or not, for the most part, we wear our priorities on our sleeves. Do not worry about what you will eat, about your life, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. To us, those words are a priority check. Do not worry about trivial things. Do not worry about eating at the best restaurant or wearing the trendiest fashions. Our perspective trivializes what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, do not worry about where you're going to lunch after church, or whether or not you have the latest fashion for spring, which for some of us may be enough of a jolt. When he first uttered these words, they hit at a much more basic level. Do not worry if you eat, or if you have clothes, God will provide for you. You are of great value to God. The problem with these words, these don't worry what you will eat or wear, don't worry about your life or body, the problem with these words is that they can sound so flippant or even trite. It's easy to say don't worry about what you'll wear or what you will eat when you have a pantry full of food and closets full of clothing. In those cases, there is really nothing to worry about. So worrying is contrived. It's easy to hear don't worry about your life and your body when you have a secure home and are, for all appearances, healthy. If you lose your income, your house, your health, your spouse, your child, your security, these don't worry words become a much more difficult pill to swallow. It's not much of a challenge not to worry when you really don't have anything to worry about. When your life is teetering on the edge or spinning out of control, hearing don't worry is not particularly helpful. Worse even, to some, these words of Jesus sound like an encouragement to irresponsible living. Jesus said, don't worry, so I'm taking him at his word. God will get me out of this mess, and so I'm not going to worry about it. The truth of the matter is that God will be with us in the mess, self-inflicted or otherwise, and we will get through whatever we have to get through, and the odds are that we will find ourselves better for having endured hardship. I know a few people in my life that actually didn't worry. I would like to be one of them, but for now I'm not. Healthy non-worriers are wonderful examples. One of the non-worriers I knew was my grandfather, J.R. Davis. He was an enigma to me. He was in his 70s when I was born, so in my mind he was old from the start. He had always wanted to be a pilot, but because of poor vision, he failed the flight test and served as an infantryman in World War I. He was a math teacher and a principal at Gadsden High School and sang in the church choir at First Methodist in Gadsden for 50 years. In the time I knew him, which was over 20 years, I probably heard him say no more than 100 words. And not one of them was a worry. He never worried or fretted or got riled up in any way. Maybe that was because he had seen so much in his life. Maybe it was because he didn't have the energy. My hunch was that he had always been that way. He knew that no matter what curveball he was thrown, and he was an avid baseball fan, that all would be well in the long run. Did I mention to you that he was a man of deep faith? I think he embodied those words of Matthew. I'm sure you know folks like this, people who have not lived a bruise-free life and have come to trust that the words of Jesus are true. Jesus started his teaching with the words, no one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. That's what those don't worry passages point back to. Where's your priority? What do you value most? There is no assurance of wealth. If that is your highest value, you may find yourself in dire straits. Wealth is insecure. God, on the other hand, is secure. God is constant. God values his people, us, more than anything else. On days when the sun is shining and the sky is blue and the temperature is comfortable, for those of us who have very little to worry about, the words "don't worry" settle in well. They're like a cozy quilt tossed over an already comfortable bed. Of course we say we shouldn't worry. Life is good, and God loves me. For those of us who are suffering, the words "don't worry" are not quite as comfortable or easy. They require a little more of us. They require us to trust God a little more and ourselves a little less. No matter where we find ourselves, God is with us. God is with us in our security and our smugness, whether we want Him there or not. And God is with us in our insecurity and our worry, whether we feel Him there or not. God is with us, valuing us above all His creation, challenging us to trust Him and not worry. Amen.